Okay, recording's going. So welcome y'all to March's Fireside Chat. So this one's all about discovery. And what I want to talk about first is this notion of, I used it in an essay a couple months ago. I use it again this week, of a devil's bargain, which essentially, like, a devil's bargain would be giving up something to, it doesn't have to actually be the devil, but to something that maybe values that you disagree with, maybe go down the wrong path, maybe getting in with the wrong people, because you're going to get something in return that supposedly is worth it. There's lots of different things that could be considered devil's bargains, and it's like up to you to decide what that looks like for you. But I oftentimes feel like as authors, we're constantly having to make a devil's bargain. Like, we're presented like 20 devil's bargains or two devil's bargains, and we are basically always confronted with sacrificing a degree of our control, sacrificing a degree of our creative autonomy, sacrificing a degree of potentially even like what we want to even do as authors, because we feel like we have to be a certain way, we have to fit into a certain system. And I think that to a certain extent, we're all living that way in society. There's something to be said there, more philosophical point. But on an actual basis, when you go and publish on a retailer, when you go and publish on a platform, when you go publish with, let's say, whether it's serial fiction platform like Wattpad, and nothing is Wattpad, or if it's like Royal Road, or if it's a publisher, they're going to own your data. And oftentimes they'll even own your rights. The two platforms I mentioned happen to be pretty good compared to a lot of other platforms in terms of the rights grabs that they'll have. It's, you end up in this position where you either like just publish your stories and maintain control, or you, but basically are okay with having no readers. Or you have to a certain degree, like, go out there and like somewhat sell your soul to try and find fans. I don't think I'm the only one who feels that way. And it just bubbled up for me this week, and nothing in particular. And there wasn't like even, it's not like anyone did anything personally to me or anyone even that I knew, but it just was this moment where I'm like, it is absolutely insane that we feel like we all have to basically put up with X amount of bullshit just to get to where we want to be as authors, that we all have accepted that we have to get screwed over, that it's not even a question of there being another way. And what's funny is what I'm about to present to you today is basically a bunch of different ways that you can like try and mess with other platforms and slightly give up your control to try and bring readers to this place where you rule the world, where we like to say storytellers in the world. And it's not a perfect solution. It's quite imperfect. It's actually frustrating. But we're talking about discovery today. It's probably the most important thing as authors. And it brings up a lot in me about just what it even means to be an author. And I remember when I was really publishing, doing the ads, doing all of that. For me, it all came back to a number on a screen about page reads, about my sales ranking. And that ended up becoming my self-worth. And I think one big mistake we can make is, because discovery is so important for authors, but discovery is asymmetrically distributed. We're not all going to get the same proportion of discovery in terms of the raw number of readers. And with that, we can feel like we're less than others, like we're less writers, like we're less maybe even as people. And that's a really dark place to be in. And some of us might even feel like we have to become something we're not to try and feel good enough to begin with. Almost like we've like almost lost sight of ourselves in all of this. I know I'm guilty of that. And I did that personally when I was originally publishing on Amazon. I totally got sucked into the numbers. But when it really got dangerous was when I did YouTube. And some of you probably know this story, but just to share the 60-second version, I was literally, and funnily enough, right now, I'm in the Pittsburgh airport at a layover. I don't know if anyone's from Pittsburgh. Amelia and Sean are actually have roots in Pittsburgh / are from here, which I'm not even here to see them. I was just with Amelia in a different city. But regardless, Pittsburgh is the place that I almost died 3 years ago, around this time, literally 3 years ago. And it's funny to be back here today of all days on a layover. Was not expecting to be stuck in this city. So synchronicities of life. But 3 years ago, I decided that, again, I wanted to get views. That's what mattered to me. Discovery mattered so much to me. And I was willing to sacrifice anything to try and get these people, at the time, as YouTube views. So this was one of my very stupid stunts, but probably it was definitely the one that went wrong, where I decided to spend 24 hours in a haunted forest in Pittsburgh, no supplies during a snowstorm. It was a very poor idea, but the even worse idea was we were so broke that we basically couldn't even afford a hotel, and we were going to drive back to my friend's mom's house, which was 12 hours away. So we literally just were pulling an all-nighter driving. And my friend was like in a normal headspace because he wasn't out in the snowstorm like me, but he got tired and he pulled over and he told me to drive. I was in a really weird headspace because I had just subjected myself to the cold for 15 hours, basically. But again, no supplies. So I didn't even know what was going on. And I just crashed into the median. And it was like 60 miles per hour. It was a crash. We were okay. The car wasn't, but we were okay. But I guess in a literal sense, that was a wake-up call for me that I was doing something wrong and that something was going really astray in my life. And if you've ever felt like that, you would do anything just to get to that next point. That is exactly what the world wants you to feel like. The world wants you to feel like you have to give up who you are, that you have to surrender to it, that you have to make this devil's bargain in order to get to where you want to go. And I'm here to tell you that you don't have to do that. It might not be easy. You might not get to where you want to go overnight. We'll compare it to a biblical story you probably all already know, just because it's a famous one, regardless of what your background is religiously, where the devil takes Jesus up to the top of a mountain, overlooks the whole city, everything, right? I'm not like a biblical historian, so this is more me just paraphrasing very roughly. Looks out over the whole city and says, this could all be yours. If you just come with me, everything could be yours. We can sometimes feel like if we just play the game, everything can be ours. But it's a lie. And I've faced that myself. And the thing that I'm most passionate about is discovery. But it's like the problem that doesn't really have a solution, or at least a single solution. But I'm hopefully about to share with y'all 5 or 6 different possible pathways. And they're not silver bullets. They are interesting. They work for some people. They might work for you. And that's exciting to me. And especially if you have the right approach, which is what I'm going to share first here. So we can bring up the slides now. I think, Anna, hopefully you can share your screen and then I can still keep talking. That should work. But I'm really serious about this. And something that I personally am really passionate about is you're not going to have one discovery pathway to rule them all. There never will be. Facebook ads aren't the answer for everyone. Amazon has not the answer for everyone. Signing a big New York publisher deal is not the answer for everyone. A subscription swap is not the answer for everyone. But you know what? There is an answer for you. And I'm interested in how can we create more opportunities that haven't existed before, novel ways of finding discovering readers. And subscription swaps is fun. We did that over the last month. Feels almost remiss not to mention it on the note of discovery. But what I'm most passionate about is how can we help real people who are part of communities, real readers, be able to power the discovery of the future. And that's like the big thing that I'm most passionate about. How can we basically change this business model of publishing to one where instead of the algorithms having power, instead of the retailers having power, instead of publishers having power, instead it's the readers, and instead it's the community. It's not going to be perfect, but I think it's going to be better. That's what I'm most passionate about, but that's more the future. That's more where I think about things in terms of how we can create a place for storytellers of the world. But when we actually get into today and what's possible, and actually some practical advice for you to get your subscription discovered, which is what we're all here for, I want to begin with talking about some discovery principles. I have the notes, by the way, on my screen, Anna. I'll just start talking on the next slide, then you can switch. So discovery principles. This is, if there's anything I want you to remember, I have some takeaways in the end, but if there's anything I want y'all to remember, it's this, because it's the mindset that matters most. I'm not going to be able to tell you exactly what tactic's going to work for your genre. I'm certainly not going to be able to tell you the language that you're supposed to use. And I'm certainly not going to be able to tell you the best pathway for you. If I was to sit down with each of you individually, I'm sure we could start to figure some of that out together. And hopefully after today, you can sit down with yourself and maybe even potentially the people in the community, post the Facebook group and start to figure these things out. But just some very important like first principles is views do not equal engagement. It's one of the biggest mistakes we can make is that we think that a view actually matters. Current business model of publishing, the only way The dominant model is you get paid per read. Literally, maybe sometimes on page read, sometimes literally based on the number of sales. I think there's nothing wrong with that, for the record. There's nothing wrong with that. As someone gets more reads, they should make more money. Generally, that makes sense to me. But it's not linear. And when you go to something like subscriptions, you realize that not every read is worth the same. Not every subscriber is worth the same. You can have someone in a $50 tier and a $5 tier. And that's a very different world. So I think the fact that you're here, the fact that you're interested in subscriptions allows you to really embrace this idea that views do not equal engagement. Because for everyone else, they can say it and get all artsy fartsy about it. And I love that. But like in reality, like the business model of publishing is that if you're selling books, you have to sell X number of books, X number of people. But the truth is that in subscriptions, it doesn't work quite like that. And that's the beauty of it. Now, in terms of focusing on true fans and nurturing them, I think this is the single best way to gain more fans is to nurture your existing fans. Now, for those who don't have an existing fan base, this does sound like a chicken and egg problem, and it somewhat is. So this is one of the principles, not the only principle, but as you start to gain your fan base, even if it feels small, you really always want to focus on retaining them, on nurturing your fans. I think we've had a lot of instances where because we're chasing new sales, because we're chasing page reads or whatever it be, that we don't chase the thing that really matters, which is long lasting customer relationships or super fans or insert the word that you like. I've already talked about the no devil's bargains. I'm not going to rehash it, but I think you hopefully understand what this means. In short, don't sacrifice your control, earnings, or values for a quick injection of readers or cash. There's really no business you should start with a short-term mindset. I can't think of one. And if there is one, it's certainly not publishing. So if you're needing to make something happen for whatever reason, credit card bill due, something happens at home, you know, taking care of that probably not by trying to boost up and double your business next month randomly, it's probably healthier. And this is also why, and just brief note of acknowledgement here, because of how the business of publishing works, takes a lot. It's a privilege to be writing. It's a privilege to be a writer. It's a privilege to tell stories. And although the barrier maybe has gotten lower than it was 100 years ago, certainly lower than it was 50 years ago, there is a barrier to break into publishing, and it's not small. And it's one that if you are able to, and you're able to even pursue the journey, that's a really beautiful thing. And you should do it on your own time and not feel like you have to be playing someone else's game or on someone else's timeline, because they might have different circumstances than you. And that isn't a good or a bad thing. It just is how life is. And you should focus on yourself and what you can do and how you can help others, but not comparing, not feeling because this person is doing X or Y, you have to do that too. So then the next one is the long game, which I've already highlighted on. But the point that I haven't mentioned yet is that focusing on mastering one thing is better than being spread throughout everything. So when I show you all these funnels, some of you are going to be like, oh my God, I want to try every single one. And you can try every single one, but I wouldn't actually recommend doing every single one over the long run. So that's the kind of caveat I will add here. So one last thing before we actually get to the funnels is just like a review of different ways to gain discovery for your subscription. And I think there's really three ways. So first is like organic, word of mouth, which is obviously what we want. But, and we could talk all the things about building community, building super fans, and how they could create a halo effect for your business. But I feel like we've talked about that a lot. And we're more interested in what can we do tangibly right now to increase our funnel and top of funnel, have more new fans come in. So I think there's two aspects, right? There's algorithmically, which I'll consider like almost passive. Like you might have to optimize for a specific algorithm, but like you're not doing anything to get, let's say, Amazon's algorithm or Wattpad's algorithm or whatever, Bream's algorithm even, to start showing you new readers. Like that kind of just happens. And the better that you do with organically and the better that you do advertising, the algorithms will boost you. But what's frustrating about algorithms is because if you don't have the word of mouth or the third point, inorganic sales working in your favor, oftentimes it's hard to get them to move in your favor. Now, obviously, we can have a whole conversation about how algorithms can be designed fair. And all I have to say about Rain is we're way too small of a platform to have our algorithms have a significant impact on discovery algorithmically in the industry. But one day it would be cool to be able to say we are able to do things differently. But generally, when we talk about algorithmic discovery, we could be talking about the big platforms and how they do things. And it's just true that you need inorganic sales to get a boost, or if not, you need crazy organic sales, which is sometimes feels like having a unicorn. So when it comes to advertising, cross promotions, or any other way of reaching cold audiences, I think there's two key ways generally that you could bucket under two. The first one is like intent, trying to reach people who have intention to already find books like yours. So an example of this would be if you're searching, and this is so annoying that Amazon does this, but it's smart. It's a good business model where like they have you pay for ads on their platform. It's brutal when they're already taking 30%. It sucks, but people pay it. And because readers are searching for specific search terms, you can reach readers with a specific intent. Okay, fair enough. That sounds like easy, great. But if we expand intent, there's other ways of thinking about it. If you're building a community of people who specifically decide to be part of a specific Discord group or a Facebook group or a book club, whatever it is, there's intent there where those people have decided to be there. And when they're in that space, reading messages, reading posts. Sorry. I am an interview. Okay. That's good. That's a great announcement. The biggest thing is these people have decided they want to be there. They're not necessarily scrolling through their feed. They're going into that Discord group. They're going into that room. They're going into that maybe Facebook group, and they're actually checking up on things. And there's intent there to be a part of that conversation. So by you being able to insert yourself into that conversation, being a participant in these communities, hosting these communities again, that's a way to meet readers where their intentions are. Okay. Now let's talk about advertising to interrupt, which I don't think is a bad thing for the record. It's just different ways of thinking about it. Literally like fundamentally different reader journeys. If you're advertising someone to interrupt, you have to now interrupt their day. This is typically, I'll use the Facebook ad comparison. Like you're literally interrupting someone on their feed, right? TikToks largely are somewhat, because you don't know what you're going to get next if you're scrolling the For You feed. They could be in a completely different world before they enter Book Talk. They could have been in Dog Talk beforehand. That sounds like how my feed would go. Dog Talk, Book Talk, probably more Dog Talk, honestly. I'm a big fan of Golf Doodles. But anyways, that's interesting, right? Because what I've noticed with authors is that we're actually pretty good at the interruption tactics. Yet people don't even really like interruption tactics all that much to begin with. So although like they work, they always burn out. We're always having to find a new thing, grab people's attention. Ugh. And it just like, can be exhausting, but we can still be good at it. And it's great, like I'm not saying you shouldn't do it. But we have to think of another step in the reader journey, which is that if someone already has intent to be there, do we need to be screaming at them once they're already here? It's like you've walked into the store. Imagine like you walk into the restaurant or you're in a food court. You're in the food court and all the restaurants just keep clamoring at you, being like, eat now. The ads everywhere. Ads are already in the food court. So I'm here. I know I want to eat. I'm prepared. I'm going to sit down and figure it out. Chill. Maybe give me a free sample rather than bombarding me with all these ads. I sometimes feels like when we're in communities with our readers or communities with warmer audiences or with places of intent, maybe in our genre, et cetera, cross promotions, things of this nature, where there's a little bit more intent, that reader has subscribed to that newsletter, they are getting these updates. I sometimes feel like we take the interruption approach. And I would ask you a kind of a reflective question is, how often do you think when you should be having a more intentful mindset to your marketing and how you're approaching discovery, are you actually approaching it from an interruption perspective? So just some food for thought. Now on to the funnels. So the first thing is, if you're going to use a subscription platform, really the only one that actually has a funnel related to fiction that you could actually gain some discovery on is Ream. So starting here, and then we're going to branch out from beyond here, because this is a funnel that all of y'all could use and it could like can't hurt to utilize, because you're probably... most of you I know in this call are already on the platform just by looking at your names. But I want to think about each one. Like these steps are not your steps. These steps for each funnel are your readers' steps. And it's because of two things. One, I'm trying to tell you the journey of your readers so that you can figure out what to do. Like you can figure out what is the best steps for you to take. I trust you in that. But we have to have a shared understanding of what your readers are going through. So the first thing on Ream would be reader searches, they browse on Ream, right? Then they're going to find your story. Then they're going to click to your author page and they could either go there or they might continue reading that story. They might decide they want to keep reading because when they find the story, there'll be the story card that pops up. And then the last step here is that they'll upgrade or follow. And that's ideally what happens, right? Now, at each of these steps, someone could drop off, right? They might search and never find your story. They might find your story, but they might not click to actually keep reading or to go to your author page. They might keep reading or go to your author page, but they might never upgrade or follow. So you have to think at each step of the reader journey, how can you basically optimize to be successful and to bring them to step four. And what we have to remember is that there's a step five to all of these, which is that once they upgrade or follow, once they take the action we want them to do, we want them to stick around. And that's the most important step. So how do we bring the right people to go from step one to step five? Now, another thing I would ask you, so the first obvious thing is, what are your tags, what are your genres? And that one is, we can definitely talk about it. I think that's a good one to ask questions about, because there will be time for questions. But the one that I'm more interested in helping you with, because I don't know if it's the one I think people think about less, is think about between step three and four. How do you help guide readers to upgrade? Do you make it right as the story gets enticing or after a slower chapter? Are you telling them inside of your story the other benefits you have in an author's note before the upgrade chapter? Let's say chapter three is public, free to everyone to read, and then chapter four is paid. What happens? Do they just have the screen from Rain that says upgrade? Or are you telling them, hey, you also get access to my backlist list here. You get access to this. Are you telling them, if it's a serial, how often you're publishing chapters, so that they know if there's only 10 chapters in the story, this isn't it. They're going to get more. It's important to communicate that with your readers to make the transition from step three to four as smooth as possible. So that is one funnel. And now I'm actually not going to share the rest of the funnels, because although I love these funnels, I don't have all that much experience marketing subscriptions to these funnels. But who does have experience marketing subscriptions to these funnels and who is now a co-host is Amelia. So Amelia, if you want, I'll hand it off to you, and you can share with us. If you want to talk a little bit about Ream and how you've been using Ream as a funnel, and then the rest of our fun funnels. I like that now, fun funnels.
Yeah. Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Perfect. So I just joined. So I don't know how much you talked about funnels on.
No, I saved this part for you. Don't worry. We timed it perfectly.
Okay. So this funnel is a subscription newsletter funnel. Basically, if you are serializing your story, or even not, like even if you're just dropping chapter by chapter, a really interesting funnel that we've been testing is dropping chapters through your newsletter. And you would start with chapter one, first step. Your reader has to subscribe to your newsletter. This could be a promise, like you can get them to subscribe by promising, hey, I'm going to be serializing my story through my newsletter. One chapter is going to be published every single week. And maybe you set up an automation where one of those chapters does drop every single week. So you set up the automation one time and you can set it and forget it. But basically, step one, readers subscribing to your newsletter. Step two, you're going to send out these chapters. Again, this could be an automation that you set up once. You put the chapter inside the newsletter. Maybe you add a cliffhanger, or you probably should add a cliffhanger. Maybe you add an author's note that says, hey, you want to read the rest of the story? I'd love my subscription. Come follow. And then a little button, make sure you add that button to entice your, or to show your readers, like, hey, this is exactly where you get it. Because sometimes, even if you might put a link, or even if you embed the link in README, like words, sometimes readers might not click it without explicitly showing, hey, this is, click this button and you'll go to the subscription. And then, hopefully, your reader subscribes to your subscription. We've done this with a couple different stories, and usually it takes between like chapter 4 and 10 before a reader comes over. And once you get to that point, you'll definitely see where that like retention point is. So you could test it out with a bunch of your stories and you'll be able to see through your newsletter stats, whoever you use, hey, everybody is clicking this link in this specific email. This must be where that retention point is, where they need to know and read more of the story like right now, and they can't wait, and they don't want to wait until next week when you send the next newsletter or whenever it might be. Would it be worthwhile considering making more of your community as followers first? How I would go about this is, when you are releasing this story, serialized or not, through your newsletter, I would personally have the chapters, maybe you release chapter 5 through your newsletter, chapter 6 that you want people to come over might be free or follow only. You're getting people to come over to your subscription, one. Two, you're getting them to follow, which gives you their email. You already have it, but it also makes them set up an account on the platform. And when you have them set up an account on the platform and they follow you, they're going to be getting emails from you directly that you don't really have to set up like you do on a newsletter. And it's basically optimized for readers to be funneled through free, like a free user, completely public, to a follower who's just following you and not paying yet, then to somebody who upgrades. And I think you just went over that specific funnel, Michael, in a previous section or previous slide. So I don't want to like dive super deep into that, but correct me if I'm wrong.
No, yeah, I think that's where we were. Yeah.
Perfect. Okay. All right. Subscription, social media funnel. So this is another one that you can do to bring people over from social media. There's three steps to this one. Similar to the newsletter, your reader sees your TikTok reel, Facebook post, or other piece of content from you. And you can market your subscription literally anywhere. It could be on Pinterest. It could be on Reddit. It could be on Twitter, X, whatever you want to call it. But the first step and the first goal in this funnel is to get people to see this post that you've made about your story, your cereal, your subscription, whatever it might be. And each of these social media platforms have different algorithm, different way of getting people to see and interact with you. So I would recommend choosing one of these and really hyper-focusing on that platform to learn the ins and outs on how to gain visibility on the platform. So that's step one. Step two is they engage with your community and your content. So this could be interacting with your TikTok, interacting with your Facebook posts, maybe commenting on it, under it, maybe sharing it, and starting to not only comment to you as the author, but interacting with your fans who have also maybe commented or created a video in response to yours or whatever that might be. So they're starting slowly to become part of your community and part of your fandom and really get into your content a lot more. Next, step three, what you're going to do. So let's go back to step one. Step one, you have that content. You have, maybe you're posting, let's take an example. You're posting a video on TikTok that really immerses your reader into that world. And your reader might, or readers might comment under your post because sometimes they don't read the caption. What story is this? And wait, how you're going to answer if it's a story that's exclusive to your subscription. Hey, this is, I don't know. I'll use one of mine, for example, Mafia Toy. And it's exclusively on Bree. You can get the link in my bio. So you're going to have, some readers won't click the link. Some, I don't know why. They might not be as engaged as you want them to be, or maybe they're not ready yet. But some readers are definitely going to go to your bio, click the link, and be taken to your subscription. And maybe they will engage with their content on the social media platform or on your subscription. You might want to have a few free chapters of that story that are available publicly and for your followers. So they can engage with those too and really start commenting to other readers in your comment section. And then eventually, because they want to read more of the story, they are going to hopefully become a paid subscriber. How do you get someone to click off one platform or another? You really need to hook them. A lot of times, especially with social media or certain platforms, it's going to be a lot harder to get people off of that platform because there's so much content just being shoved in their face there. But what I would recommend is responding to people when they ask questions, because that will get you more engagement and hopefully push you further in the algorithm. And having a link somewhere on that social media in order to move them from one place to another. Something else you can do, maybe you're running a giveaway on your subscription for all followers. So you can promote the giveaway on social media and say, hey, if you want to read, or if you want a signed copy of Mafia Toy, we are running a giveaway right now on our subscription. Come over. All you have to do is follow. It's completely free. That's a couple different ways. And I guess I just answered the second question. Yeah, you can use Google Waves to promote this kind of urgency. Get over here right now before the 15th of March. That's when it closes. Maybe you say, hey, by the end of the week. You can also do promotions like limited time discount codes. I would be very, don't use discount codes a lot, but you can do promotions to get people over. Limited time launches. So maybe you have a tier that launches for or is open for 1 week and then it's being archived so nobody else can join it. And this is a great time, especially on social media, to push that tier. Maybe it is a book box and you want people to get in the tier before March 6th. So you're going to really push it on social media, say, hey, limited time launch. You got to get over right now. It's never opening again. And then there, I'm sure there's other tactics that can drive urgency from social media to your subscription as well. Okay, subscription serial funnel. This one is going to be very similar to your newsletter subscription funnel. What you're going to do is hopefully you have a serialized story. And when I talk about serials, in all of my serials, I have the chapter, the short chapter. It's not super long. We have a author's or a cliffhanger at the end, and then an author's note that directs you to the rest of your serial. But we're going to start at step one. So step one, readers find you on a serial fiction platform. There's tons of serial fiction platforms you can be on. Some are Wattpad, Royal Road, maybe Radish or Yonder. Whatever it is, you have to understand the algorithm for that serial fiction platform. You have to understand how to get your eyes or how to get eyes on your book. A lot of times, this is done with engagement. So you want your content to be very engaging for readers. You also want them to comment. You want them to not only read, but comment on specific lines and respond to other readers who are commenting in your story. That's very general. Not all of the platforms use that kind of algorithm, but most do. So first, step one, you're going to find readers on that platform using your knowledge about what that platform's algorithm is like. Step two, readers are going to read your chapters on that serial fiction platform. And hopefully you've structured your serial in a way where a short bite of content, you have that cliffhanger where they really need to know more. And then you have a little author's note that basically says, hey, this is how you get the rest of my story. Maybe another chapter might drop next week for free. But if you want to read the story right now, this is what you have to do. You have to upgrade. You have to, or if you're on another serial platform, move to your subscription to read early access, more chapters right now. And just overall, what you really want to do is make sure that you are utilizing the serial fiction platform that will help you gain the most discovery for your genre. For example, if you're doing lit RPG, don't post on Radish. You want to post on Royal Road so you have your readers in that genre reading your content. Similar, if you're writing spicy romance, don't put your content on Royal Road. You also need to think about what your release schedule is going to be. So your release schedule for free might be different from your release schedule for paid subscribers. So for example, a couple of my books that are running through this serialized funnel, they only update once for free. So if they're not paid, if my readers aren't paying me, they're not going to get that content as often as if they would, or is it they would, if they were a subscriber. So if they're subscribed to me and they're paying me monthly, I might give them two or three chapters a week instead of one. So you definitely want to see what your release schedule will be for free, for paid, and then also take into account your schedule. Please don't overpromise what you can do. If you know you can't release three chapters a week, please don't say that you can. It's going to be very stressful for you. Definitely, I would say, hey, I could do one chapter a week. Maybe it's one chapter a month. But you want to set clear expectations before starting this funnel, because if you're constantly saying, hey, I'm going to update on Mondays, and then you never update on Mondays and the update comes on Tuesday or Thursday or the next Monday, people aren't going to trust you. And when they don't trust you, they're not going to subscribe. That's that one. Okay. We have subscription ad funnel. This is not new, but new to us teaching it. So first step, you're going to create an ad, probably on Facebook, about your subscription or about your cereal that you have on your subscription. So you're going to optimize that ad to your audience, to that specific platform. Again, typically that's going to be Facebook, and your reader is going to click on that ad, hopefully. That's what we're optimizing for. So at least we're hoping that they're going to click on that ad. Next, they're going to go directly to your story and start reading it for free. So a lot of times what I see is people might start running ads, and instead of directing people to the story, they're going to direct people to their page where immediately a paywall comes up. And while you want people to subscribe to you, being hit with a paywall immediately without being able to read any of the content, I might click on that ad, but I don't know if I'm going to subscribe. But if you plop them directly into the story, they can start reading immediately. So you put them in the story, they read the first chapter completely for free without even having to make an account. Your chapter is public, chapter one, maybe chapter two is too. And then we get to chapter three, and it is a following chapter. Your readers now are hooked, hopefully. Hopefully you hook them with those cliffhangers. They get to chapter three and they're like, oh, I need to read what's going to happen next. So I'm going to create an account. It doesn't cost anything. I'm going to create an account and follow this user. And so they'll follow you, they'll read the next few chapters, and then they'll come to that retention point where you know, hey, after they get to this point, there is no way that they're leaving. They need to read the next chapter because the cliffhanger is terrible in a good way. And so what they'll do, or you'll have a paywall there, and they'll have the decision whether to become a paid member of yours or continue to be a follower. And how I would structure your ads specifically is look at one story that you know does the best and is going to be the most enticing to invite readers into your membership. There's probably going to be one story of yours where you know, like, this story is the biggest story I have and so many people love it. And if you can find that story and utilize that story, running ads to it, get people into your subscription. And now if you have maybe a backlist available in your subscription, now they can read all of your content, depending on what tier they're in, and they can become a super view. Okay. How will you give them a call to action before the upgrade button that entices them to convert from free to paid? So something that you can also do, which we've begun implementing on my team, is right before we get to, after the following, after they become a follower, and before they become a paid member, before that paywall, in the author's note, we have, hey, if you become a paid member, not only do you get access to the rest of the story, but you also get access to 30 other titles that I've written at 50% off. So off compared to how much you would spend on a retailer or on a direct website. So you're really hooking them with, you're getting a huge discount if you upgrade to become a subscriber of mine. And this discount can't be found anywhere else except in a subscription. So there's a few different calls of action that you can make. And I only have really data on that one, which has done pretty well. But I'm sure there's other calls of action that you can get people into your subscription, maybe some more that are community-based instead of story-based. Okay, so some key takeaways to these different funnels. I would recommend starting with one of these strategies and mastering it before you move on to the next one. Once you have really mastered one of these funnels, maybe it's a serial funnel, and you really hit as many readers as possible, and your strategy has been refined multiple times, then you can move on to maybe thinking about ads or another one. Another takeaway is the quality of members, aka your retention, over quantity of views. You might want a lot of views on your serial or on your story, but if your readers aren't staying, if they're not reading that entire book, you might have a little bit of a problem. You can revise your book, but you really want to look at the quality of the members that are reading your stories, the quality of those views. And because sometimes people might be really into chapter one and chapter two, and then there might be a huge steep drop off on chapter three, and you might want to go back, see what happened in your story, and revise it. We're constantly pivoting in subscriptions. I know I say that a lot, but it's true. You really need to create a really great story. And then have fun. I love serial, so I'm always having fun. And I love subscriptions. But if you're not having fun, your readers are probably not going to have fun either. And your readers really don't want to be sold to. They want to feel like they are part of this story that they love in this community that they love. Yeah. I don't know if Michael, you're...
What's up? And this is great. Yeah. I mean, totally not a separate note, but it is a separate note. But we're doing Spring into Serials right now, which is taking off. There's a lot of people doing it, which is awesome. I'm glad that we came prepared, but springintoserials.com is a site. You guys will have a great time. Basically, the short story is 2 weeks writing challenge. Try and get in words to start off spring. And it's early for spring, but I'm desperate for spring. So we're going to call it spring. And we have a Discord and the Facebook group. So the Facebook group is Subscriptions for Authors. We're doing a daily post in there. So if you use Facebook and you don't want to use Discord, then you can comment there. But if you do use Discord, it's probably better. Discord's really good for sprints, and we're just sprinting in there. And then we do have some live events coming in the next 2 weeks. I think we have two that we're planning to do, but I don't know if we finalized the date. No, I think we did finalize. I have to think. I'm not actually running that part of it, so I don't know what's happening there yet, but because we haven't announced it. But at least behind the scenes, I know we have two live events we're doing as well, bringing in guests to talk about serials. So it's going to be a very fun week, or I should say 2 weeks. And we hope to be able to continue Spring into Serials as a place that, you know, like writers can do writing challenges, and that we can bring the community together about getting more words. And hopefully it's just the beginning. So I'll keep you posted on that. But springintoserials.com is the website. And then I guess with that note, a lot of you all here are already like either in the accelerator. Some of you are, I know, already joined this, the Serials Lab, which is awesome. But we did actually release a really cool new opportunity where you guys get to be part of basically a very fun scientific experiment of writing amazing serials, very addictive serials. I'm kidding. It's not actually a scientific experiment. But we branded the whole thing and are framing the whole thing as if it's a lab, because we want to help you guys experiment and write a serial that can reach 1 million reads. That's our goal, to help you get there. So we created an awesome lab for that. It's very similar to the Six Figure Subscription Author Accelerator, except for serials. That's like in terms of structure, like the live sessions and all of that. So we're very excited for it. You guys have been asking for Amelia's serial advice forever and wanting something hands-on. So she's finally spilling the tea, and, or I should say spilling the beaker. But if y'all want to check that out, that's probably linked somewhere. If not, I'll have to go on my phone quickly, and I have it saved myself. So I'll link to it in the chat. We have a bundle actually, which includes like everything. But as always with this stuff, no pressure. If y'all are interested in it, it's a great opportunity. We put a lot of resources into making it really special. But we're just super grateful to have y'all here. Rest of the next 20 minutes, we'll take questions from you guys. We have three more fireside chats after this. Subscriptions for Authors fireside chats. And then there won't be any more Subscriptions for Authors fireside chats after June. I don't know what we're going to do next, if we're going to do like our live events. So y'all know my personal kind of idea is that we'll be spending a lot more time creating shorter form YouTube videos and TikToks. And I want to put my energy into that. I want to make it really good. I want our team and Renata, Ariel, everyone to be focusing on that too. So we'll still create the podcast. We'll still do our blogs. But I think the Fireside Chats are like coming to a close here in the next 3 months. Obviously, the recordings will always be on YouTube. And we're really excited for the next 3 months. We're going to finish out strong in April, May, and June. But I do think this is it for us. As of right now, that's our current plan, is for this to be it for the Fireside Chats. Everything has a season, right? So thank you for coming to one of our, what's crazy is we'll have done 24 in the end. So this is our, I think, our 21st Fireside Chat or something like that. So thank you for coming to our 21st subscription Strathers Fireside Chat. It's like the end of an era, but in a good way, because we'll be focusing on creating hopefully even more helpful things in a slightly different format. I feel like we did the webinar format. Like we got that in. It's like the end of a series. We're starting a new series. But anyway, that's enough of me talking to Amelia. What are questions we can answer for you all? Can be about anything. It doesn't have to just be subscriptions. And not spring here for Cat. I am sorry, Cat. Winter storm, 25, 35 centimeters. Wow. Saskatchewan, though, sounds really pretty. So to curious, what do you think of a funnel from a free Substack blog and podcast to read? 3 chapters a week with the CTA. Substack is also mostly says great discoverability, and the podcast seems to attract the crime thriller readers by audience. Anyone else doing this successfully? I don't know anyone doing it successfully. It's definitely possible. I wouldn't say not to try anything. I think that what you'll find is, I know you're writing like crime and thriller mysteries. You might be able to find people who are interested in reading like a crime newsletter, but it might be like they're interested in more like nonfiction journalism on crime rather than your fiction. So I don't know like what the conversion would look like there. I know that we have a few friends who've been on Substack, and almost all of them now are just creating nonfiction for authors there. Like their fiction doesn't actually do very well because it seems like it's more just geared towards nonfiction, which is great. There's a space for that. So it definitely can't hurt to try. But I'd also mean, if you're going to do a podcast, that RSS feed can be anywhere. So you can be getting discovery from Spotify. You can be getting discovery from YouTube. So I would go wide with that podcast. And I would want to hear a little bit more about what you're doing for the podcast. So if you can share in a follow-up comment, I'd love to hear it. But in short, like, it seems like an interesting idea. And yeah, getting it far away is good. Great question, Takeri. Great to have you here. You've been one of our very loyal Fireside Chat listeners / watchers, which is really appreciated. For some reason, because we obviously just like pre-scheduled these out for 2 years, literally. For some reason, like my travel always ends up being on Fireside Chat days. Okay. Y'all, it's quiet. No questions. This was last time too. I feel like it's like both a good and a bad thing. I don't know. Either we confuse everyone. Yeah. I mean, either we overwhelmed, confuse people, or they're very satisfied.
Yeah.
Maybe none of the above. Amy asked, do you recommend making all chapters free to non-paying followers? I'm wondering what's a good price point to start people at.
Like all chapters of the book? And if so, I would only recommend doing that if you're doing a serialized release to them. And so what I mean is you promise, hey, I'm going to release the entire book to you guys for free, but you get a chapter at a time. If you want to upgrade, you can upgrade to get it for early access. With that, you can also have bonus scenes, though, locked. You can say, hey, this chapter is not part of the story. Like, it's part of the story, but it's not essential to the story, like the main storyline. So I'm going to lock it behind a paywall. And if people don't want to read that, they can skip over this chapter and go to the next one. But the main story is free to your followers. And I would only do that if it's in a serial, if you're releasing it in a serialized way. And then once that book is completely finished to your free followers, then I'd give them like a week or so and be like, okay, this book is coming down after a week. Make sure you read it now if you want to read for free. And then it's going to be strictly first 5 chapters might be free. The rest of it is paid. I hope I answered your question. Okay, perfect. Yeah. If you're not doing a serialized release, I would say don't make all chapters free. Make sure you're putting them behind a paywall. But for serials, I think there is a way to use it. And I do use method. Just a follow-up to Amy's question before. How many weeks, months does a serial take to roll out? It depends on the length. I know for me, the funnel through subscriptions and then the free serials, it probably takes 6 to 9 months to roll out one book. That's really great because you have content for 6 to 9 months. And then you can also, after that, roll it out in a book too on the retailers. Yeah.
I just had a super funny realization in my travel woes. I'm going to forget that one. I realized that my suitcase is gone. That's a separate problem.
Oh, no.
So good. Well, but I just literally realized that right now. Like, oh, that suitcase is gone. The serial novel of my life continues. I am very grateful for you, Takiri. We're very excited to be able to. We're lucky and grateful. It's great. We're very great. I know, right? You'll have to subscribe to my read. I'm just kidding. No, I think I can get it back. Yeah, I'll be able to get it back. I have a plan. I do. Yeah, I do. It's in a different city. Now I know where it is. I'm like, oh, that makes sense. That didn't happen. That one. I guess it sounds so toxic, but it's like, oh, I've got my computer, so I got everything I need. Just don't have to change clothes. But it's like, yeah, look at the rest of it. But yes, if y'all ever need like conference travel tips, I suppose, actually after that story, you probably don't want travel tips from me. But me and Amelia have been to probably more than we can count.
Yeah.
Apple Tech is good. Now, this is just more me. This is different. We got 10 minutes left. And the last one I ended early, but partially like I was freezing because I was in Ireland in the car doing it because it was another conference. This one, I don't want to necessarily end early. If people don't have questions, we can just share some things that we're working on, some changes y'all might see. In a good way, I think all positive. None of these are big changes, but things are always evolving. And you all are some of the most dedicated, supportive people we have of the CUNY. And we wouldn't be able to do any of this without you. Like a roadmap of like the next 6 months, some things that we're thinking about doing. And this isn't set in stone and it could change, but like these are the evolutions we're thinking about. So the first one is that the Subscriptions for Authors podcast has been awesome. And we want to continue doing the podcast on the same RSS feed. So you don't have to follow anything new. But I think we're going to rebrand it to the Storytellers of the World podcast. That just increasingly is what we're about. And it's what we're going to do for that. I'm almost certain of that. And we're also going to change the YouTube channel to be Storytellers of the World too, which means I wouldn't say we're going to create like broad content, but it just gives us a little bit more flexibility. I felt like we almost have to create content about subscriptions, yet a lot of our content is not about subscriptions, yet ties back into it. And I think that's going to be more what we're interested in doing, like just a little bit more like, hey, we are authors thinking differently about publishing. We're authors who want to take ownership of our audience, who want to build a community, who want to rule our world. And subscriptions are like a huge piece of that, no doubt. But yeah, I think if anything, the brand will expand. With that, we're also really playing around with starting a second Facebook group. I don't want to change the Subscriptions for Authors Facebook group. I think it's lovely. I think the space that it is perfect. And authors need a place to come to talk about subscriptions. But we're growing our team. We actually just had 2 people officially join, officially where they're full-time today. And then we have like Ariel joining mid-March. I think Anna probably will be joining over the summer. So with just the way things are going, we're able to do a little bit more as well, because like when you bring on great people, you can go further rather than just keeping up with where you are. So I think we'll keep running Subscriptions for Authors group and making it awesome. But the plan is probably around July to start a Serials for Authors Facebook group. And with that, a blog specific to it. So the newsletter will still stick as Subscriptions for Authors, but we'll have different segments for different kind of sub-communities, I suppose. And I could see us doing different communities down the line. I think I would like to do one focused more broadly on discovery at some point and marketing for authors. I think at some point we'd like to do one more focused on people who are just getting started, because we tend to be more advanced. But that's like far future, not this year. But I think that's like where we're going with things. It's like Storytellers World is the big brand. That's where we're going to dump all of our content and time into building things. That's why the Subscriptions for Authors Fireside Chats are being phased out. Just for Authors still going to exist. It's going to be awesome. And especially the Facebook group that started it all. But I think we're just going to be branching out and hopefully being able to do even more for you guys, at least on the content and community side of things. I think that about sums it up. You'll see me announce that officially with probably some updated branding around the time the summit comes. But it's like a little teaser of some cool things that we have planned that I'm excited for.
I am too.
Yes, I agree, Amy. Subscriptions are one leg of the author table, but one leg alone doesn't hold it up. So there's definitely more to it. Do you have anything on your mind, Amelia?
Not really. Thank you guys for coming.
Yeah. Any way we can always let us know. Whether it's reaching out to support our author success email, whether it's there's a lot of ways to reach us, but we're always here.
Yeah, I feel like I've been doing the Fireside Chats from the start.
Yeah, we started them very early on, and which was cool. It's been a journey. Yeah. We tried to cover all the big topics, and I think we got them. At least with subscriptions. At least with
subscriptions. Yeah.
But I'm really excited for the YouTube channel. I love YouTube, and I won't be filming any videos in Forest for this channel. At least I don't think. But we're going to really try and create like 8-ish minute long videos that are just really packed with information. Because the biggest feedback we get is our essays are super long. Our Fireside Chats are super long. Our podcasts are super long, which is like great. But if you're just looking for a quick hit of something, if you're looking even for a deep dive, but not like a crazy deep dive, like we don't really have that option. So that's what I'm like really excited to do is hopefully make everything we're trying to teach more accessible to everyone through like shorter form YouTube videos. Me personally, I watch a lot of like 12 to 15 minute long YouTube videos. So we're gonna do it. Oh, wow. That's super cool. I'm glad you've been listening to the whole podcast. We're going to be more consistent with the podcast too, actually, over summer, because like we're having a lot more processes coming in place around everything. Anna's helped our newsletter be so much more consistent, because I'm not a consistent person, which sounds funny because we talk all about subscriptions, but like I deeply understand like the creative battle of like you're inspired, so you're going to do it all in one day and it's hard to do it across multiple days. And that'd be like my biggest advice for you as like an author is just know yourself. Like for me, like I'm never going to promise like a chapter a week. Like I just couldn't, it's going to be 10 chapters 1 week or no chapters for 4 weeks straight. There's no in between with me. And I think a lot of us as creative people are that way. And instead of fighting against it with your subscription, I encourage you to embrace it. That's how you make it sustainable for you. And even if it's not as quote unquote optimized, it's all about the expectations you set with your readers. And you don't want to be working against your nature. And I sometimes hear a lot of people say things like, oh, I'll write ahead. And I don't think writing ahead is a bad thing for the record. But what I worry about with that in terms of writing ahead is that at the end of the day, you're just trying to stay ahead all the time. And at some point, like you're living your life to stay ahead and not actually being able to be in that creative moment. And some people are cool with that and want to be able to schedule ahead. But some of us, and if you're like me, you don't want to have to schedule ahead. You just want to be able to be creative and get things out, which just means like you have to set the expectation there. And yeah, I think I've said a few times in the pod, on early episodes, I pretended that we were going to do it every week. And then I think as things went on, I just was, yeah, it's going to happen when it happens, which like isn't the best, to be honest. If we did the podcast more regularly, like on regular times, regular days, people would know when to tune in, when they're driving the car or whatever they're doing in their life. Don't get me wrong. There's benefits to being consistent. But all I have to say is that if you're like me and you're not consistent, don't let it hold you back from pressing publish. Don't let it hold you back from getting started, because you can get processes in place later. We've been doing this for 2 years now and are just finally, yeah, we're going to start to make this more consistent because we have a responsibility to our audience and we want to be able to do this for another 8 years. But like for 2 years, you've just been ad hoc, right? And we've produced a lot of stuff, but it's been like, if you follow us and you all do, you know, it's pretty ad hoc. That's my final note to you all, is that don't play against your nature. Your subscription is your world. So build it, live it. And with that, I don't think we have any more questions. So y'all rock. You'll have an amazing day. We'll put the recording up on YouTube. Thank you to everyone who's here. Thank you to everyone who helped out. And sorry for like, again, the weird location. Next month, I like seriously anticipate being like in a normal location, but I shouldn't have said that. Okay. I'll see y'all next time. And as always, don't forget, storytellers of the world. See y'all soon.